You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stifles knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planned a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, everybody. Hey. This is Marco Bill. And tonight, TJ is going to do the show. Well, but we might have some intermittent disappearances of TJ during the show, so don't be alarmed. I'll just take over, okay? Hi, TJ.
Hey, Marco. Hey, guys, welcome to another week of an exciting Bigfoot week. We're out here. We got two different investigators. We got Mike Green out in North Carolina, and I'm up here north in Owensburg, Indiana, with my Bigfoot buddy, John. Spectacle falling up on a sighting that happened up here. Pretty strange, but next week I'll fill you in on it. So, Marco, we've got Michael Green. He's out in North Carolina up in the Uwari Forest with his all his thermal imagers. And, folks, this is where he took that picture of the Squeaky Thermal Video. I think you can go to squeakythermalvideo.com and check that out if you like. We got a few other guests. We got TC up in Texas. We got Francis coming back from Montana. And then we got a new guest, Zeke, over there in Arkansas. And, let's start this hour off with Michael Green. How are you, Michael?
Hey, TJ, I'm just fine, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, we can hear you great, buddy. So another fine evening, a little bit of squatching out in the woods. Going to find your squeaky video Bigfoot hopefully tonight.
Well, hopefully. I'll tell you, for once, Everything seems to be working. All the equipment's working. There's nobody else in the campground. It's nice and cool, and everything seems to be working well. I've got a new angle here for those of you who are new to this program. In years past, before I had my squatching den, I used to camp here, and I had a big yellow tent. And I always used the same tent, and I used the same car in hopes that the squatch would get familiar with it. Well, tonight I've set that yellow tent back up, and I made a recording, a long recording of a kids show on a tape recorder. And I'll play a little bit for you in a second. It's called Puppy Patrol or something like that. Anyway, it's got a whole lot of sort of little kid noises and stupid stuff, and I'm going to put that in the tent around 1 o'clock in the morning and let it play for an hour or two and see what happens. Yeah, I'm going to give you a play. I'll just play a few seconds for you right now. Hang on a second.
Right ahead.
That's just a small sample of the thrilling programming I had to sit through.
Well, but, good idea.
Yeah, the business about having little kids or women in camp always seemed like a magnet for them. And I thought if I just shoved this sucker in the tent and let it play, hopefully they'd think there were some kids in the tent, come a little closer. For those of you who aren't familiar with this, I've got this system that I use a strong green thread, and I run it for about 100 yards at a time, and it goes down to a little tiny transmitter, which isn't on until the thread is pulled. And once the thread is tugged, the transmitter sends a blip, a silent blip, to a signal to a receiver in the car or in the van, which goes, alert, 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 with a Japanese accent, and hopefully wakes me up. Anyway, I have three of those transmitters set up all around me. And on the roof of the van, I've got three thermals pointed, two of them down into the gully and one up in the other direction in case it comes up behind me. And those will be running all night long. I've got my Kel-Tec RFB 308 with me, and that's got a thermal scope on it. I was going to bring my silencer, but it doesn't seem to work. And having spent a lot of money and waited a year and gotten the federal tax stamp, blah, 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 I finally called up the suppressor company today and had a long talk with them. I told them that I'd tried this suppressor with three different rifles, with three different kinds of ammo, and I'd gotten a 300 blackout with an AR, blah, 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 and none of it seemed to work very well. And this is a good suppressor company. I went on YouTube, and I found a number of clips there where people were shooting that suppressor with my rifle with the kind of ammo that I subsonic ammo that I had loaded in it, and it sounded great. It hardly made any noise at all, but when I shoot it, it's loud as hell, and I can't figure out what the heck it could be. This suppressor is welded shut. It's a steel tube with baffles in it, and the guy said he had no idea what the problem was. And I'm going to do a sound comparison and record it and send it to him. And he said if it doesn't check out, send the sucker back to them, and they would check it out themselves because it just doesn't make any sense. But hopefully the idea with the suppressor was that if there was somebody else in camp here, I could let loose without waking up the whole place and having the cops come down on my neck in about 5 minutes. But anyway, there's nobody here tonight, so I can make all the noise I want. And hopefully I'll get to make some noise. We shall see. Of course, every night that I'm here, I always hope that something's going to happen. I'm going to get the bag one. And night after night, nothing happens. Now, not the last time I was here, but the time before that, 2 weeks ago, I was using, I've got one thermal, a fourth thermal that's on a little periscope that sticks up to a hatch in the top of my van. And I was scanning around with that in the area where the recording thermals weren't recording. And I was just sort of scanning around, not really expecting to see anything. And just as I got into one section of it, this big white object went zhup, and before I could press the button and take a picture of it, it went out of sight. What it was, I don't know. There weren't any people around. It was big and it was white. Didn't make any noise, so I really can't claim anything except, looked good to me. But I can't.
Was it in the same area where the squeaky was?
It's exactly in the same area where the squeaky was. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
The creatures inhabit. So.
Yeah. Well, I know, and that's why I keep coming back here because I hope their habits are continuing. But it was big and it was white and it moved very fast. All I got was a big white thing, zoop, and it was gone in a second down the gully.
Wow.
So I don't know what it was. I mean, it could have been maybe it was a deer, but the deer around here are about the size of collies. They're really pathetic. And there weren't people around. Maybe it was a bear, but I don't know. I've never seen a bear around here. So I really don't know what to say. Whenever I get little plus marks in the column like that, it always keeps me going because most of the time nothing ever happens. And after a while, this really gets kind of boring and repetitious. But I don't have anything better to do right now than just keep at this, week after week and hope eventually I'll get lucky. I think I will.
Well, that's what it takes. It takes a little determination, a lot of wisdom, a whole bunch of patience, and some expensive gear. You got to have the gear. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just going to see it for yourself, and who's going to believe you?
I know. And unfortunately, you're absolutely right, TJ. And unfortunately, with these thermals, I could get the best goddamn thermal in the world, and nobody's going to believe it anyway. Or maybe some people will. But, when it boils right down to it, we've said it, what we got to do is bag one of these suckers. There's plenty of them. Bag one of them, slap it across the hood of my truck, and drive through town laughing all the way.
Absolutely. Hey, in the beginning of the show, I mentioned about the squeaky thermal video. Just so that our new listeners, I don't know if they're up to speed or not, why don't you give that story what happened, when it was,
yeah,
and when you got the video, where they can see it, talk about your book a little bit.
Okay. About 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I was living up in Pennsylvania, and my wife's son moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina. So we came down to visit him, and at the same time, coincidentally, the BFRO, not affiliated with anymore, was having one of their expeditions at this Uwari National Forest. It's a place called West Mars Hunt Camp, which isn't particularly attractive, and people don't go there. But the place had a long history of people seeing squatches, which is kind of interesting. So they were having one of these expeditions. Anyway, we drove down from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, dropped my wife off in Charlotte, and I came out to the campground a night early before anybody else. So I had this campground to myself, never been here before in my life, set up my tent, and on the table, I've got my feet up on this table right now, these big concrete and like 2x12s bolted onto it, picnic tables. I put a Coleman gas stove and a big metal pot and a big metal spoon in the pot on the stove. Great. Then I was really sleepy. It was about 9 o'clock at night, and I'd been driving all day long. So I took my thermal, and I went into the tent, and I went to sleep. 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to, and I still have no idea what this was, I woke up to a plop noise. It sounded like somebody dropping a big ripe tomato or a water balloon or something on the floor. I don't know what it was, but I heard this plop noise, and I wasn't scared. I was just curious. I'm laying in bed, and I'm going, I wonder what that was. But this was in mid-April, so the leaves were just beginning to come out, and it was a dry, quiet night. And I'm laying there listening, trying to figure out what the plop was, and I heard a little rustling in the leaves. A rustling like a mouse would make, nothing exciting at all. The next thing I knew, right over my tent. And this is one of those little dome tents. Right over my tent, I heard two big, what I call Darth Vader breaths. And everybody who's seen Star Wars know what they sound like. Big, two of them right over my head. And then something cuffed the tent. Not really slammed it, but just kind of like backhanded it. Sort of like, hey, is anybody home? I guess. All this took a whole lot less time than it takes to tell about it. And so I sort of, oh, Jesus, what do I do? So I whacked the side of the tent back just to let whatever it was know that, you know, I was awake or somebody was home. And it ran off. I heard thump, thump, and then I heard this tinkling noise, ran off, and I thought, you know, that's all I could think of was a metal chain dog collar. Oh, shit, the dog. But the dogs don't make that noise, and dogs don't whack the tent. Anyway, I got the thermal. I got out of the tent, and I looked all around, anything. Finally got to sleep. In the morning, I got up, and I looked around, and I didn't see, it's not an area that's conducive to footprints at all. And I looked over at this table, this big picnic table, and there was the Coleman stove with the pot with the spoon in it sitting there. And I walked over to the table, and I gave this thing a shot with my hip, and it went tinkle, tinkle, and it made the dog collar jingling noise. And I thought, son of a bitch, when it was running away, it bumped into the table. And it was a great explanation. Anyway, I was really psyched, because this is the first time I'd ever had a really sort of positive experience. Two nights later, all the BFRO people here, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting at the same picnic table with 4 or 5 other people, and we're just kind of talking in low voices amongst each other. And I'm really tired, and I'm wishing somebody would say, let's go to bed, because I didn't want to chicken out first. And every few minutes, I would get up, and I'd just scan around down into the gully behind the picnic area to see if I saw anything. And on top of this thermal imager, I had a little video recorder. And I had a 256 megabyte SD card, which is tiny. And I knew it had very little memory, so I was, quote, saving the memory for when I'd really need it. So I'll never make that mistake again. So I didn't have the video recorder on. Anyway, the third or fourth time I got up and looked around, there was a squatch walking sideways to me down in the gully, clear as day, maybe 90, 100 feet away, walking at right angles to me. And I watched it very clearly, walking sideways for about 5 seconds, and I realized I didn't have the recorder on. Oh, shit. And I, in a stage whisper, I said, there's one now, stupidly. Of course, everybody stopped talking, and I lowered the thermal and turned, it took a few seconds to turn on the video recorder. When I got it back up, it had gone. But I knew it, so I didn't have it on tape, but I knew what I'd seen. Coincidentally, we ended up moving down. 2 months later, we moved down to about 30 miles away from here in North Carolina. Since I'm retired, I could come out here all the time, and I began coming out here once a week, just like I'm still doing now. And after a year, once again, it was in April, one night, I put the thermal up, and I'd let it, at the time I only had one thermal. Now I'm just lousy and I'm going broke buying it. Anyway, setting up the thermal, and down in the woods I heard a rustling noise. And I thought, geez, I wonder if he's down there right now. And just on an impulse, I had a tripod right there. I put the thermal on the tripod, pointed it down in the gully, and got in my car and conspicuously drove away. I was the only guy in the campground. Drove away and down halfway down to the gully on a stump, I put a Zag Nut candy bar, and the thermal was pointed at that. So anyway, drove away, waited about 2 hours, which was the length of the battery was run on that thing. Came back, battery was dead, the Zag Nut bar was gone. But I didn't know what I had, and I couldn't tell until I got home in the morning. I didn't know if I'd had anything at all, actually. And when I got home in the morning, I played the video, and there it was. This stuff comes creeping up, to make a long story short, comes creeping up, sneaks up, grabs the candy bar, sneaks back into the woods very, very cautiously, and then a couple of seconds later reappears, I guess realizing that he isn't going to get shot and there isn't anybody around, reappears standing up and walks over and gets behind the tree and starts weaving back and forth and back and forth. You get a pretty good look at him. And then after maybe 10, 15 seconds of that, he walks back into the woods, and that's the end of that. That's called the squeaky thermal. And it's called the squeaky thermal because I usually on the stump leaves these little bathroom toys that my grandkids use, which squeak when you squeeze them in the bathtub. I've had the squeaky toys taken. Anyway, so I had to call it something, so I call it the squeaky thermal. And if you want to see it, you can go to strutsquatforsale.com. Squatch for Sale is the name of the book I wrote after I saw this thing. And it details my adventures down here, but most of the book details my adventures out west with Justin Smedja, the guy who supposedly shot the mom and the little one, and Matt Moneymaker and the BFRO and all the various assholes that are involved, for better or for worse, in the Bigfoot world. But it's a very entertaining book, if I say so myself. And if you go on Amazon, you can get it. It's about 350 pages long, and it's a good read. I hope someday I'll be able to write a sequel. And that's about all I can say right now, TJ. I'm running out of words.
TJ had a drop off the line.
Yeah.
One thing, can you say again, where is your book? Name the book, and where is the book? Okay. Where can they get the book?
The book is called Sasquatch for Sale by Michael Green, and all you got to do is go on Amazon Books, and you'll see it right there.
Super.
Yeah, it's a good read, and it's very popular, I'm glad to say. And I wish, people, I hope you'll read it, and I hope you'll get in contact with me and talk about it. You can go to my website, which is also called Sasquatch for Sale, and you can get a whole lot more detail about what happened down here in the Uwari and various adventures that I've had in the past years squatching.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. I'm glad you're taking the time off here to do this. I'm sure you're getting antsy about going back there, continuing on with your.
I'd be happy to keep talking, but I don't want to run my phone down because the little thermal that I've got, which is on like this periscopy pole that sticks out of the top of the van, that plugs into my phone, so I can only use that thermal using the phone screen. So I don't want to run this down. So for better or for worse, guys, I'm going to sign off now. I hope you guys have
okay.
a good show. I'll talk to you all next week, and that's it for now.
Okay, Michael, thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome, guys. Have a good night.
Ladies
take care.
And gentlemen, yep, take care, Michael. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk to, Zeke. Here we go, commercial.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna...
Hey, Marco, I'm back.
...challenge the world.
Okay.
And go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed.
But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back, and TJ, Zeke is coming up.
Let me All right.
You. Zeke and family. He's got a couple other people there that took the video and stuff. So, Zeke, how
okay.
are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing really good, Zeke. Sorry about that, folks. You know, like traveling, and when you're Bigfooting, you know, you sometimes you're in areas where you don't get any cell signal. So if I do fall out, Marco Bill's here. Zeke, you know, I got to say, when you called me, I was so intrigued with the story and how it happened and what happened. I mean, it's pretty amazing if you ask me. Zeke comes out of Arkansas. And, well, instead of me telling the story, why don't you let everybody know a little bit about you, where you're from, and how you got into this, and what happened?
I'm originally from Southern California. I was born and raised out there, and I came out here to Arkansas, and living out here with my wife and the kids. And, you know, we always hang out and talk every night, and we sit outside and talk, and, you know, we're a pretty tight-knit family. And so one night, two of the kids went and stayed out in one of those cabins. We have one of those little cabins. And so they went to stay out in the cabin one night, and they heard a bunch of, like, knocking and, like, a bunch of weird noise, and they didn't say nothing until the next day. So that next night, I stayed out all night, you know, just listening and all that. And so while I'm sitting out there, I'm just hanging out by myself, and I hear some noise, and you know, it's nighttime, I hear some noise, and I look up, and I couldn't even tell really what it was, but I saw that was big, and it went into the woods. And the part where it went into the woods, you know, the trees were probably about 20 feet tall, and the whole tree moved. The whole tree moved. I thought that was pretty odd, you know. And then I kept looking at it, and it kept shaking some more. I thought that was a pretty weird incident. You know, there's been a lot of things have happened here, and that's just a little one of them. But I think it was the night after that, or a couple nights after that, me and a friend of mine were out on the back porch, and we were talking, and we started hearing some kind of noise out there, so I said, hey, why don't we grab a stick and start knocking on this tree right next to us? So we started doing that, and sure enough, we heard it in the woods, and it knocked back and did the same exact knock that we did. And me and my friend looked at each other and were like in disbelief, like, really? Because there was nothing out there. There was nothing out there. It couldn't have been anybody. So I did it again. I did it a little differently, and then we heard it from the woods again. And I started making it kind of complicated, and it kept doing the same stuff back. And I thought it was really crazy. But there's been a lot of different things. If you guys wouldn't mind, one of the kids would like to tell you about what happened in the cabin, if that's
Absolutely.
Right with you.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Sadie and Santana.
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm really good. So let me ask you a question, Dee.
Yeah.
Have you ever believed in Bigfoot until after this?
Oh, ever since I was a kid, I was really into Bigfoot. Like, everyone thought I was so weird because I was really into cryptozoology, and I, like, studied it a lot. Like, when I was in elementary school, I really, like, read a lot about it and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What grade are you in?
Oh, I'm 20 now, but, like,
okay.
Yeah, when I was really little, like, when I was, like, 9 and 10, I used to, like, Google all this stuff and write down notes and all cool stuff like that.
It's so nice to hear a respecting voice of somebody growing up and thinking that, hey, there's more on this planet than just us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Okay, so me and my boyfriend, Santana, were out, we were sleeping out in the cabin one night, and we had stayed up a little late, and we had fallen asleep, and maybe just a few hours later, it was probably around like 3 or 4, because it wasn't daylight yet, but I woke up to like banging, like on like against the walls of the cabin, and I'm thinking someone's like messing with us, and so I'm like really startled, so I start shaking Santana, like, Santana, and I start hearing this like weird screeching type noise, like it sounded like a cat getting injured but more like morphed in a way, and it was like like a holler, like right by our window, and that's when I was like, oh my god, I was so terrified, and I was shaking him, and he finally woke up, and the banging was persistent, and then it just stopped, and, like, all of the dogs were going crazy, and then I tried getting up to turn on the light, but we were too scared to get up. We were just, like, laying in bed, like, so scared.
Wow. Now, have you guys ever seen any footprints out there where you were at, or what kind of evidence have you seen?
We've seen some broken trees and some broken limbs.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some kind of footprints, but you can't really tell what they are and all that because it's so overgrown, and just the way the soil is out there, I couldn't really tell. But
you know, like we talked on the phone, Zeke, can't wait to get out there and see you in October. Now, have you set up those bait stations yet?
Yeah, we're fixing to do it. On Friday.
On Friday. Awesome. So, let's see. We've got you seeing the creature or shape of something that was probably 7-8 foot tall out behind your house. We've got, oh, that's right, your neighbors are also talking. So they see the creature also, haven't they?
Yes.
Now, well, I'm trying to remember the story your wife Andrea was telling me. I guess a neighbor around the corner has been feeding the creatures?
Yeah, like, this was like a couple of years ago, or whatever. But he was putting like plates of food out there for it and feeding them. And I guess one time, he said it came up to the back porch and started eating the dog's food.
Oh my goodness! Does anybody get any pictures? I don't think about asking that. Did anybody get any pictures?
He didn't get any.
No, he didn't get any. The only thing that we've gotten is what
the video you sent me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, folks, I got to tell you, it's a pretty intriguing video. Our lab's still breaking it down, but something in the very beginning of the video, you can't see what it is actually shaking this tree. Once we get it done and analyzed, we'll go ahead and get it up on our site. But go ahead, Zeke.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I tell you what, every experience that I've had, and I've had like 4 or 5 of them. But every time, whenever it like runs away, it's only like 3 or 4 steps, and you can tell and you can hear them, and all of a sudden it's quiet and you don't hear nothing. It's very interesting.
Well, like we talked about, they're night creatures. They know what they're doing. They're nocturnal. They feed and move at night. They can see at night. And I honestly think there's a curiosity factor with them. I mean, everything you've told me over the past week and a half that we've talked is that this is a Bigfoot ballyhoo. This is a place where they know they can hang out. They can study you. You can study them. They're peaceful. They get fed. It's a nice area. They maybe stay. Hopefully they're going to stay there by the time we get there in October. What do you think?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm almost sure of it. I mean, even if even when I haven't seen anything or heard anything, you constantly feel like something's watching you. Everybody that comes over here says the same thing, like it's really creepy, and you feel like someone's out there. And like,
wow.
The story on when we got that video, it was myself and my friend and Sadie and Josh, and I think it was one other person. We were on the back porch, and all of a sudden we heard this loud crashing noise against the wood fence on our neighbor's fence. And we all of us looked at each other like, whoa, what was that? And when it landed, you could hear the dogs got all scared and ran, and we could hear footsteps. And so I took off running to the woods, but then I stopped because, you know, I had shoulder surgery, and I can't be going through tree branches and all that. So one of the kids a sword? He grabbed a samurai sword and took off out in the woods. And that's when him and the other friend of mine got that video. And I used to work for the fire department and the forest service. I used to drop big trees all the time. And the way that sounded, it wasn't a tree limb that fell. It was something that, like, threw it with force. You can tell the difference.
Wow, amazing. You know, I cannot wait till we get out there to hang with you guys and investigate and figure out what's happening. And I'm giving you all the tools and the information so that you guys can find this creature if he's there and keep him there for us when we get there. I'm excited. I'm without words right now, I'm telling you. I want to thank you again for coming on the phone. You know, we're going to talk as soon as we can between now and then. And whatever you got my phone number. It's the Bigfoot Hotline, guys. Put it out there for everybody. 606-620-6667. Guys, the October expeditions are coming up. We're going to be in Washington. We're going to be in Montana, Idaho, Colorado. All points in between. We're going to hit Arkansas, Pennsylvania. Give us a call. We're here to help. We're going to vindicate you. We're going to make sure that you know that, hey, you're not nuts. You're just going to have to get into the Bigfoot world and let us know we're with you. So check this out. We're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to be coming back with who, Marco? Is GC on? We've got Kevin.
No, what we got, TJ, is we got Kevin. TC did not come on. Neither did Audrey. So when we come back, we'll go to Kevin.
Well, we probably got at least another 5 minutes. I think we can probably go with Zeke and his family here. Why don't we just go ahead?
TJ, you're really getting weak for some reason. Your voice is real weak on the phone there.
Mark, I'm bad. If you can hear me, go ahead and take the call.
Hey guys, you want to hear my wife's story of what she
sure.
Saw?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Well, why don't you tell everybody what you saw?
Well, this was a few years ago when I first moved out here to this place. I was standing on my back porch, and it was evening time. I was just standing there talking to somebody, and I heard something walking in the woods, and it didn't sound, you could tell if it's a dog or a bunny or something. This was big. I was waiting for a big person to come out of the woods. I can hear it walking. I could hear the leaves moving, and it just sounded big. It felt big, and I looked towards, there's like a little hole through some of the trees there. And I looked, and I saw a yellowish-brownish fur. And I couldn't follow it up because there's so much trees and stuff, but there was, like, a little hole through there, and I seen this yellow-brownish fur, and then all of a sudden, I heard a couple movements, and then it was completely gone. Nothing was there. And then when I went off my porch to walk down to where, like, the hole was, I walked up to it. It was way above my head, so this thing had to be really big.
Wow.
And a few nights I went outside, I hear noises. I hear like a certain type of howling, but it's not it's not like a wolf or coyotes or anything. It was a different kind of sound, like they were communicating.
You hear that pretty frequently?
I've heard it several times.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard any, like, wood knocking, like knocking on trees type of thing?
I've heard knocking on trees also. And a lot of times when this stuff is happening, a lot of the dogs in the area are just going nuts.
Yeah. I think, TJ, you're back, right?
I'm back, Marco, folks.
Wow,
I'm sorry.
You are loud and clear. Good, buddy.
Good. I'm hoping it lasts here a little bit. The GPS has got me driving off the road right now. So stick with me. Was that Audrey that was talking?
Andrea.
Zeke's wife.
Zeke's wife, yes, I know. We had a long conversation. all I got to say, girl, is the action up there is driving me nuts not being there. I can't wait to get up and see you guys. We're going to figure it out one way or another. We're going to make sure you've got peace of mind and you guys exactly know what's happening. Now, let's see here. I think we have Kevin coming up next. I want to thank you guys. The whole family, keep up the Bigfoot. Get that bait out like we talked about. Set up the spaces. And let's get some pictures of this creature.
All right. We will definitely try to get something.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Marco, let's hit commercial and I'll bring it. Come on back with them. I'm on a dark road and trying to figure out and sort of lost. So
Kevin,
go to commercial. We'll come on back with whoever we have next. I'm sorry.
You got it, Kevin.
Kevin, that's right, Pennsylvania.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Awesome. Folks, it's been a crazy night. It's been a wonderful night. Bigfoot is here. We are here. And do not forget, October Expedition's coming up. Give us a call, 606-620-6667. We want to hear everything you got about Bigfoot. Guess what? He might even come out and help you out investigate. We're going to be in Montana, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Pennsylvania, Arkansas, Texas. It's going to be a crazy one. We might just run all the way to about November 15th on this one, folks. But we need your help. Give us a call. Let us come out and help you. We'll be there. Hey, folks, now listen up. You guys all heard about Kevin and his family up there in Pennsylvania. They've had some excellent action. It's been a few weeks since we've heard from him, so we brought him back on to hear some updates and, you know, talk about the past and so all you new folks know what's going on. Kevin, how you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're not doing too badly. I like the idea that you're being able to travel around like you do. It's kind of sound like fun.
Well, you know, it's the only thing you can do if you're out here really looking for Bigfoot and researching. You know, you can't do it from the comfort of your home in front of that computer. I mean, it's easy. Make it simple. But when you're just doing it there, you don't get your feet on the ground and your boots out in the woods and your camera's on, your thermal's going. We've got a vast amount of people all across the U.S. And what they do is they go out and they look. They spend time in the woods. That's what we do. Michael Green, me, Rocky Slavin. We got our good buddy out in North Carolina, Mr. Batchett. So, you know, it all works for us. It all works for us. So come on. Tell us what's going on.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. Of course, all the people who just want to be on their computers, it's okay, but at least they're pretending to be out there, right?
You said it, not me. Outstanding, Kevin. Outstanding.
I'm sorry. I got to behave.
You don't need to behave. This is not that kind of show, okay? We say what we want and how we want on this show. We don't bleep people out. You go right ahead. Awesome. Awesome.
Well, I hadn't been on for a while because I've been kind of on the sick side and been going through some problems with pneumonia. I did get a chance to go onto our neighbor's property.
About that creek.
We followed the creek. I got a couple shots of some footprints. A lot of them were older footprints, but there was one that was at least close to 15 inches long. The other one was another smaller one, not far from where the creek is that I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, because of being sick, I really have not had a chance to get out very much.
All right. Let's talk about the footprints. Now, 15 inches, did they have toe prints in them? Did they have a discernible heel?
Definitely you can see the heel, and you can see where the toes should be. But it was kind of filled in because we did have a couple of days with rain, so it was not as clear.
Okay.
So I cannot guarantee what exactly, if it was one of the creatures or somebody had walked through or not. I'm kind of guessing.
I got to ask you a question. Were they bare footprints, as in B-A-R-E, not B-E-A-R?
That I couldn't tell with this particular one because it was an older track.
But they weren't
boots
or shoes, correct?
It was no boot or shoe mark. It was like a regular footprint of some sort.
Okay, so here's my strange, odd question for you. Wait a minute, who do I hear in the background? Is that your lovely wife?
Yep, it's my wife.
You tell her hi from us. Okay, back to my question. So, how many people are out walking through your pasture, over the neighbor's fence, into the creek with bare feet this time of year?
I don't know. If they do, it'd be kind of interesting to say hello. I haven't seen hardly anybody out that way. I do know, like I mentioned earlier, that we do have a lot of people who are Amish, and a lot of times they do go barefoot. But I don't see them being in these areas where I go.
Wait a minute. What are you telling me? Amish people don't wear shoes?
A lot of them do, but a lot of times they do go barefoot quite often.
Out through the woods?
That I don't know because I don't ever really see them out there other than maybe during hunting season. And, of course, they are wearing shoes at that time because it's too cold to go otherwise. But I have seen, even on Sundays, when they're going to their meetings, they walk past our home, and even on Sundays, they're in their finest best, but they're barefoot walking down.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Many of them adults.
Well, so now I understand why you say you can't be 90, you're only 99.9% sure because there's that one little percent of variability that it just might be somebody Amish, but we kind of know it. How many Amish people was like feet the size of 15 to 18.
Exactly. Exactly. Unless you're like, what's that, Shaquille O'Neal or Chaka Khan
there you go.
Or whatever you call the guy. You know,
there you go. There you go.
The big old basketball guy.
Yeah. You know, I'm most Amish people I've seen, they're pretty small footed. They're not that huge.
You're kind of breaking up. It's hard to hear you.
I apologize, Marco, if I'm breaking up or I'm gone, you can take over. I'm driving up to northern Indiana. We're following up on a sighting up there, folks, so I do apologize. Go ahead and continue there, Kevin.
But anyway, we did take some pictures, and I tried to get them sent to you guys. I was told that I guess they didn't go through or something, so we'll try to send them again tomorrow. We did take pictures of the wooded area because we were asked to see what the woods look like out there. And way out in the back of the woods, there is a creek, and there's an old broken down, like a culvert, I guess you would call it. They used to, years ago, have a logging trail through there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing that anything can really go over now because a lot of it's caving in and everything. You can walk over it safely, but I wouldn't take a vehicle like that over it. But we took pictures of that as well. We didn't
okay.
know if maybe something would hide underneath it or not.
Kevin, can I get you to pause for a second? Marco?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is Kevin our last guest?
Yes, except for Rocky.
Okay, awesome. So we got about 3 more minutes, Kevin, and then I'm going to move on to Rocky, and let's go.
Okay. The one smaller track you'll see my foot next
mm-hmm.
to it in the mud, that was just a very short distance from the creek. But I'll try to get those pictures sent out to you hopefully tomorrow.
We'll get them up on the site. Folks, you can go to BigfootLiveRadio.com. You're going to go up into the second tab from the left, and you'll click on it. You'll find PDFs and other pictures. This way you know exactly what Kevin's talking about. You know, Kevin, I cannot wait to get out and see you guys this October. I still hope we're invited.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. We're going to get out there. We're going to just investigate together. We're going to figure this out. Maybe we'll find a big Amish guy in a monkey suit. You never know. I hope not. Okay. I hope not. But, you know, that's what we do.
I'm your dapper. No.
Hey, you know something? Stop saying that. You're right. It is Halloween. But, hey, you know, in this business, Kevin, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you got to debunk.
If I have any time left, I'm sorry. A friend of mine down in Florida wanted to play a trick on somebody and dressed up in a Bigfoot outfit to scare one of the ladies. And she had one of those security flashlights, didn't realize it was a human, and beat the guy up with this flashlight. So, got to be careful.
TJ just dropped off the line again. He ran into a bad spot. Well, I want to tell you, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate your time, and
thank you.
I appreciate all you and your family's efforts the past couple of months here, in sharing all your experiences with us. I'm going to put you on hold right now, and then I'm going to bring Rocky on, and we'll talk to Rocky. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank
and
you.
I'll keep in touch. I'll keep in touch with you.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kevin. We're going to come up next to Rocky. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing quite well, Marco. How about you?
I am great. TJ just dropped off, but what I thought we could do, you know, we're getting ready to go on another excursion here, and I thought maybe you might want to share some of the things that that you experienced and some of the things that you prepare for when you go out.
Well, the main thing is always prepare for the very thing that you can't prepare for, and that's an actual sighting. We've We've been kind of tied up lately, me and the Swede. He's always busy, but we kind of had some family problems with, we lost one a couple of days ago, so I haven't actually been able to get out. The Wednesday before last, when the show was going on, I was actually, or the one, I guess it's not the last one, but the one before that, I was actually out in the woods where, in the same area where the Swede had his sighting and killed a perfectly good scaly bark hickory tree with his 454 Casull. But we've put out bait. We've looked in all the usual places, and there hasn't been anything going really, other than, you know, we still hear things, but you know, it's basically the same thing that we heard when TJ was out here with us. And anyhow, we've got the big plan is this weekend, this coming weekend, is trying to get out there and go up by Lake Dead. And, you know, go back and check all of our baits and all that. Check our areas for any kind of footprints. And actually, we have to go out there and stock up our, you know, we got to put food back out there because we've used it all up. And, you know, how we are, we like to take stuff out there and hide it, so when we are out there, we don't run out of food. We'll have plenty of to spare. But I'm hoping that I get a chance to get loose and go down and visit with Zeke and his family. They're in Hot Springs. I got in-laws that live down that way, so. I want to go down there and check his area out, look everything over a little bit, and that way I'll be able to, you know, with any luck, I'll be able to point TJ and whoever's with him in the right direction when they do get down here. My main preparation is I'm trying to get everything finished. We're in the process. We just started on my son's house. It just finished. We're starting on my daughter's house. And then hopefully we're going to start on our house, getting it all. We're building. And hopefully we'll be able to get all this done in a reasonable time so I can get back out to doing what I like to do. I mean, I'm not going to miss hog hunting or deer hunting, but sometimes, you know, the Bigfoot hunting is a little bit more involved. But we have checked out all of our areas, and like I say, we've put up bait. We've gone ahead and we've used the peanut butter and
TJ.
Hey, TJ.
Hey, buddy. Looks like I got back for a second here right before the show ends. So, guys, I want to let you know, keep on Bigfooting. This is the way it's got to be. If you're going to get out there into the field, you're going to find this creature. I want to say thank you to all our guests this evening. And make you guys welcome back to our next show next week on www.bigfootliveradio.com. Well, hopefully we get TC and Francis on and Audrey back in. But, Rocky, I want to thank you also, my friends, for filling in with Marco while I'm traveling up north there, buddy.
Not a problem for me.
And, folks, time to say goodnight and keep on Bigfoot.
Good night, Tommy.
Good night, Rocky. Good night, Bigfoot world. Good night, Marco. Good night, Mrs. Calabas, wherever you are.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.